Everyone, and welcome to Cutting Through the Noise. I am your host, Hayley Mears, and today I am joined by none other than our industry salon doctor, Sonia Thomas. Many of you will know exactly who Sonia is, and she has kind of blown the industry apart in the last year and really kind of innovated, created a lot of change, but we haven't had a person that has championed retail for us in such a long time. Sonia, I'm going to hand to you to introduce yourself, because you have the most amazing career story and I would love you to share it with everyone.
Thank you so much, Hayley. Hayley said, I'm a salon doctor. I literally have been in the industry for 37 years. So I did actually have my own salon. I had six staff. I know the pains of what it's like to manage all of that. Unfortunately, when my journey, when I did have the salon, although my business career was going really, really well, my home life wasn't going really well. So unfortunately, I was a victim of DV and I literally had to up and leave my business and walk away. So it was quite a really terrible time for me. I was left with no money. So I ended up going into the corporate selling space because I needed to find a job that was going to pay me really good money really quickly. And the job that I went for actually said no experience required. And I'm like, that's my job. So I had the tenacity to do large format digital printing as a new business development manager and really found myself really learning the, I thought hairdressing, like we do have a lot of skills when it comes to communicating with clients and things like that. But when it comes to selling skills, we as an industry, or I believe, we really don't have the confidence to deliver that. So when I found myself in this role, in corporate selling, they really believe in getting you to actually go and do more external education, right? So we were going to a lot of sales courses, marketing strategies, how to actually really piece our territory together. So my first year with them, I did $2.6 million of new business and absolutely loved it. Became financially free in that first 12 months with that company and absolutely loved it. And fell in love with sales more than I did my own hairdressing career, I have to say. Still love sales very much so. I guess that's why I do what I do. And after being with them for close to 10 years, and I really got burnt out. I had three kids when I went there. They were 7, 5, and 3. So single mum, three little kids, and really got burnt out. We didn't have work from home back then. So it was driving in 12-hour days. It was really, really long. So then I ended up getting a job in our industry. So I ended up working for and ended up selling to the hair industry. And I actually thought that coming from what I was doing, right, I thought it would be a piece of cake. I just thought, I'm going to go sell to hairdressers. I'm an ex-hairdresser. I've had my own salon. I nailed sales. I'm going to go for this. And to my surprise, every salon I first walked into, it was like they didn't want to have a bar of me. They didn't want to collect more dust on the shelves of the products that they had. There was a lot of resistance. Staff didn't want to sell. They're not salespeople. I was met with a lot of resistance and really had to go back to basics and really work out what was going on for my salon owners. Why weren't they selling? What was happening? And so I ended up selling to industry for 15 years. My last year, I did $6.3 million worth of sales. Absolutely smashed it out. But what that meant, and the reason why I say this is because we all know how much shampoo and conditioner is, right? So you can imagine how much product I sold. But what I want people to think about is if I was selling that much, that means my salons were selling it, right? So they make 100% markup. So you imagine if I'm selling that, they're selling really, like really grew my account and really started to understand the bones of salon businesses and salon owners and what their pain points were and how we could really shift the dial to really increase revenue really quickly through retail. So yeah, so that's kind of the short version.
Do you think part of the success that you had in that space was actually you teaching people how to sell so that you could sell, right?
Yeah, it was just educating that, understanding that we're marketed to every day. We're sold to every day, okay? If we just take ourselves out of the hair space for 1 second, when we look at social media, we look at going to the shops, going to McDonald's, going to anywhere where we walk out the house, or even on our, as I said, even on our phones every day. We're sold to every single day, sold to with everything.
Yeah.
From marketing through makeup, beauty, everything, right? Our industry, I don't know why, we still don't like to sell, even though we get sold to every day. And we buy, we actually buy. We're shoppers, us hairdressers, right? We like to look good. We like to get our makeup, and we actually like to look glamorous. So we buy ourselves. But I don't know why we just don't like to actually service our customer. If we actually know what they really want, then it's never a sell.
What are you seeing in the industry at the moment? Is this something that, you know, has increased? Is it something that's new, or is it just like the mindset or culture within our industry?
So last year, 28.8% of salons closed, okay?
Wow.
70% of hairdressers now work from home, okay? So that tells me loud and clear that our industry is really shifting.
Yeah.
Okay? And we need to shift our mindset. Even if you are working from home, I'm actually doing an event on Monday for the solopreneur. Even hairdressers working from home, we're the only industry that feel embarrassed to charge. Actually, there's a bit of a split. You either charge extraordinary prices, okay? There's no middleman here, or we don't like to charge,
yeah,
right? And we're not charging what we're worth. But when I talk to salons, I go, if you were to get an electrician come to your house, we don't question the call-out fee. They charge us for materials, and they charge us per hour.
Mm.
And if they tell us that our pipe is broken or we have a problem, and they go, well, you can leave it if you want, but that's just going to cause more pain and, you know, you're going to cost you more eventually, we just go fix it. Yeah. Even the mechanic goes, oh, I think you need your brake. Okay, get the brake, right? Our industry, we've got people's hair that, you know, the amount of time where I'll go and teach my consultation format, right? I've got an actual strategy and a format, right, to uncover pain. The amount of salons that say, oh, because I say, what's the most common thing that you hear? Oh, my client's got breakage. I'm thinking, do you know how many hairdressers say to me breakage is one of the things? I'm like, if your client's got breakage, whose fault is that, Hayley?
Well, I mean, I think I know whose fault it is.
Whose fault is that? That's not the client's fault.
Yeah.
That is our fault. Because we're not saying to the client, you did not have this treatment, you did not use this product, right? And I talk about shampoo and conditioner just being the petrol of a car, right?
Yeah.
It's the basic entry point. Shampoo is not going to fix anything. It's going to just stop them from getting work, right?
Yeah.
We have amazing treatments out there as well. Back in the day when I was like, I am a dinosaur, right? Back in the day, we used to use conditioner at the basin, right? We used to call it a treatment. But they actually have amazing products that actually repair the hair. And I'd be just saying to a client, if I'm going to continue to foil your hair, this is what you need. Because in 6 months' time, I will not be able to foil it. But let them be the judge of that then. Let's lay out what the expectation is. Let's make the client make that executive decision.
Yep.
But we're not even giving them the reality of what that's going to look like, you know? So
yeah,
we really need to change that mind shift about what the home care looks like.
I'm interested to know if there's any other observations of, you know, dramatic change within our industry that you're observing, whether that's like maybe not even specific to, you know, that retail space. But I do think we've been in, you know, a period or era of the greatest change ever in a really, really short amount of time.
Yeah, I think, look, there's a lot of younger salon owners, and I think that us vintage hair, the dinosaurs of the industry, I don't know if some will actually not like that word, but anyway.
I like to refer to myself as a heritage.
The heritage. I love that one. Great job. Yeah. Really, I'm going to use that. I'm going to steal that one. So when we look at being old school, we're either educating, we're working from home, or we've left.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. When it comes to consultation techniques and education, this is another stat for you if you're a stat girl.
Oh, I love it.
95% of hairdressers will tell you they do a full consultation, but surveyed 5% of clients actually think they get one. Because what happens is we think it's only about hair when it's so much more about hair. It's not just about color and cut.
Yeah.
And sometimes we overcomplicate it with our clients. Like, you know, I hear hairdressers say, oh, you know, I'm just going to use a 911. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're a client, I don't even know what 911, that's like, isn't that an emergency number in America? I'm not sure. But do you know what I mean? Like, we really start using, we overcomplicate things, where I do actually talk about treating our client like either your best friend or your grandmother. So if it's your grandmother, you slow down, you tell them exactly what they need, and you do it step by step, really easy to digest and understand. Or if it's your best friend, be authentic, right? If it's your best friend, how would you talk to your best friend? You'd go, hey, babe, this is what you need, right? But it's genuine. I don't need to sell to you then, Hayley. I can just tell you, this is where we're at. I love doing your hair. Let's stop talking about our personal lives and focus on hair first, because rapport is actually built on trust with hair. I've never heard a client say to me, oh my God, I love going to my hairdresser because I get to find out about her husband and her kid.
Yeah.
They go, I love going to my hairdresser because I trust her with my hair. And I say this to Sandra, you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah.
They trust you because of hair. And that should always be the first conversation with your client. It's okay to talk about everything else after, but retail aftercare should always be spoken about on inception. And some salons do it really, really well, but the majority, and I would definitely say a high majority, just really lean out when it comes to retail.
Are there salons that are doing it really well, salons that kind of have form and structure around it? You know, like have they got a process, and how do you guide these salons that don't do it well into creating a process?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, a lot of salons that I've educated, they know that it's important, but they don't have the strategies and the system, because if there is an actual system that you can implement, and it's literally so easy that if you know the right steps on how to actually plant seed your client, that at the end of the service, you're not saying, I think you need, and you're not saying, do you need shampoo and conditioner? And I think a lot of hairdressers also say, so tell me what shampoo and conditioner you're using. Now, we know that when we say that to a client, that is, I'm going in for the self.
Yeah, it is.
The hairdresser asks you that.
Get ready to lie through your teeth.
Get ready for the client to shrink, right? Because body language is 55%, right? And we don't even take that into consideration. So you can see the client going, oh no, here she goes. Right, we're selling. But if I actually say to you after I've done your consultation and say, Hayley, look, I know what we'd like to achieve today. Would it be okay for me to actually go through an aftercare plan for you and show you what that looks like and give you my professional opinion?
That is such a great hook.
No one's going to say no. They're going to say, sure. Then it's up to them to decide, right? But if I've actually really understood what your pain is, and I'm not saying we see hair and we go, oh, I think it's a little bit dry on the end. Well, is it, you think? Or it is or it isn't. I'm not quite sure, right? So we use the word think a lot. And if I'm really diagnosing your scalp and I'm saying to you, what's going on for you right now? Hayley, tell me what's going on when you're not with me.
So that will give you a more, that question opens up to a holistic life picture, because we all know like scalp and stress and lifestyle and, you know, nutrition. There's so many factors in there.
Tell me what's going on. Tell me how you're managing your hair. And some people who have got oily scalp will normally tend to shampoo their hair before they come to the salon. Now, I might look at their ends and I might already make the assumption that her hair's dry.
Yeah.
Now, I can go on this tangent without even qualifying what her pain is and go, I think you need a treatment and we're going to do this high moisture. That client's going to go, oh, absolutely not, because my hair's oily. So if I'm not asking the right questions, I'm not really listening, because we're not very good listeners, unfortunately.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
We're very good talkers. We don't even pause.
Absolutely.
So when we ask the question, we tend to just answer it for them. But stopping and listening is really, really quite powerful. So I would actually get the client to say, you know, if they say, oh, look, you know, it's okay. What does okay mean? Are you able to blow dry it every day? Do you want to style it? Like, talk to me. What I know you say to me every time you come in, I wish I could do this at home. So what does that mean? Like, break that down. Be really inquisitive rather than just going, oh yeah, I can get you to make it look like at home. And then we just go down this whole tangent without allowing our client to make that decision. Because I talk about COVID, right? And I talk about, you know, when we had COVID, we had the vaxxers.
Yeah.
And there was like a rule line. You're either an anti-vax or you're a vaxxer, right? People, it's not that they don't like change, Hayley. They don't like change that they don't choose.
That's a great way of putting it.
Right? So if it's not your client's choice and they understand why they need it, it's a sell every day of the week.
Yeah.
So we need to get the buy-in from the client. We need to get them to understand that if we don't actually look after our hair, we don't actually journey plan that, we don't maintain it, then this is what the result's going to look like. So
I'm writing that down, journey plan your hair, because that's such a great way to educate clients. And they're like, okay, I get it. This is a process.
Yeah. So I unpack so much in my program. So going back to your original question, I think because we got such a really young demographic of hairdressers, when I do my program and they hear different ways to ask, they hear different questions, really be inquisitive. Okay, so I talk about body language is 55%. So when I ask your questions, like, so Kelly, talk to me, what do you do with your hair at home? Like, what are you actually using on your hair? Rather than saying what shampoo are you using, like, talk to me, what, and is there a reason why you actually use that? Because I'm just interested to know, because if I'm going to be doing your hair, I really want to actually know how I'm going to be able to really maintain and look after this for you properly.
And that's also another great way of being able to be like, what do you like and dislike about certain products?
Absolutely. What have you used in the past that, you know, I get clients say to me all the time, oh, my hair got used to it. Well, you know why it got used to it? Because you probably haven't got a shampoo wardrobe. I call it my shampoo wardrobe. You're not using different products at different times of your hair growth. You may have changed your hair color, not even considered it. There's so many factors, but we just don't ask.
Yeah. Another great note that I'm writing down, shampoo wardrobe.
So there's just so much I unpack. It's not just a one-stop. And I think when they hear it so easy, it takes, I have not even mentioned money at this point. I haven't even mentioned, do you want to buy anything at this point? I haven't, nothing. But my client gets the buy-in from the beginning.
Yeah.
On why this is super important. And no one's going to turn around and not allow, I always ask permission. And I always thank them. So I always say, Hayley, are you happy for me just to show you what I'd actually recommend?
I can't imagine anyone saying, oh, no, thanks.
Absolutely not. And, you know, we have such great products in the industry. And people always say, too, this is another one that comes up all the time. Oh, but what if they're using a premium brand? Well, what's a premium brand? Are you using, like, if you're using, let's say, CPR, and you're using CPR Color and CPR Retail? Well, if you're using Kerastase at home, I know I've got an educated client. Tick. Yeah. I know I've got a client who likes to spend money. Tick. Let's lean in, not lean out. But let's also say to the client, Kerastase is beautiful, but do you know much about CPR? Have you heard of it? And if you haven't, would you mind if I actually share with you why we actually use it in our salon? Because everything chemically balances.
Yeah.
Right? I'm still at this point not doing a sell. I'm still not selling anything to you. I'm just letting you understand why we choose what we choose in our salon. So for any hairdresser that, you know, feels like there's a superior brand out there or anything like that, then look at what you're using in the salon and do you believe it does what it does? And do you love what you're using? Because fundamentally, if you don't love it, you don't like it, you can't sell it. If you try and sell it, it's a sell.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a lot to unpack with these salons.
I'd love to know, just because you touched on it, how much body language comes into deciding the approach that you take when, you know, because there's lots of different ways that you can recommend. And, you know, you made that great point about, are you speaking to your grandmother or are you speaking to your best friend? So do you kind of look at the client and understand who they are, what makes them tick, what their body language is telling you before choosing which approach is going to be the best one?
Yeah, look, I think, so body language is 55%. Tonality is 38%.
Okay.
Communication 7%. So if I was to say to you, I was to come in and go, hi, Hayley, I can see that your ends are dry. I think we should do a treatment. Yeah. Are you going to believe me?
I'm going to think you hate your job.
Right? Where if I said to you, and in the tone, and I really greet you with energy, and I go, oh my God, hey Hayley, come in, take a seat. It's the first time I'm doing your hair. Talk to me. I'd love to know more about you and your hair and, you know, what brings you here today. And then if I said to you, so talk to me about what you're using, just give me a bit of an insight to you as a person, right? And I'm talking with confidence and my tone is clear. And there's energy.
Yeah.
You're not going to sit there and go, oh my God, this girl doesn't know what she's talking about or she's selling, right? Then, so being confident, because there are a lot of talented hairdressers out there.
Mm.
Like, I reckon the talent is even better than our day. Okay. So this is where credit's due. Okay. Root shadow, boiling techniques, blonding. Like, I see some work on Instagram and I'm like, oh my God, I wouldn't even know where to, and I've been in this for a long time. I wouldn't even know where to start, right? I don't even like doing foils. So I'll put my hand up. Like, you know, I come from streaking cap days, but, you know, and we used to only do foils to kind of really enhance, you know, hair, right, to really get that multi-tone. Which is coming back. But there's some really talented techniques right now that I think our clients have the best of the best, but they just don't know how to do the other part.
Yeah.
Right? And they should be charging for it.
Yeah. I think my next question to you is, everything you're giving me here is like the most incredible and valuable lesson. So I know that you're going to be working with, you know, basically the entire country over this year and next year. And one of those opportunities, I'll get to see you in Tasmania for Salon Forum for CPR.
Yeah.
And an amazing lineup of talent. And I can't wait. I'm going to try and get everyone that is on that list on this podcast, because I just think it's, you know, like it's the bee's knees of headliners. So what is it that when you're teaching, what is it that you tend to cover? And I mean, in terms of like an event like Salon Forum, but also as, you know, more of what you do one-on-one with salon owners and brands.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll segregate the two. So with brands, it's literally helping salons work out where their leaky bucket is.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So that's what I'm going to uncover at the forum. Okay. So we have three pillars of profit, and where is our leaky bucket? Okay. So really unpacking that. I'm not going to give you the bones now, because that's for anyone who wants to attend in February. Yep. They get to uncover that, right? So the three pillars of profit is really important. And once we know where that is, that's where we need to really focus on first. Most of the time it's with staff and with retail, okay? And how do we fix it? And then I also talk about high ticket services in our salon, okay? We really lean away from feeling like we can charge, okay? And my promise when I work with clients is, I won't promise you new clients, but I'll promise you you'll end up with more revenue and more profit with your current business model.
Who doesn't love that? Because client acquisition is like a costly part of business strategy.
Yeah.
Procuring clients is where you spend money.
Absolutely, right? So I work with what's tangible, and that's the person you have in your chair right now, right? And how can we really start to look at getting that footprint? Like when we talk about retail, our footprint is like 2.5 times a client will come back to spend in your salon. I actually get salons footprint more than 6, okay? So by the time it's 6, it's a habit that the client is actually relying on going to the salon, really relying on that hairdresser to really make sure that I'm using the right product.
Yeah.
How can we get that footprint higher? So I unpack that as well. And high ticket strategies. I've got salons who literally have implemented my high ticket and literally have made $7,000 to $8,000 in their first 30 days.
That's huge. That's really huge. That's business saving. Like what was your stat? I wrote it down. Was it 28.8% of salons closed last year?
Yeah.
So if that tells us anything about profitability within businesses, and then you increase your revenue or your profit by numbers like that, that would save businesses.
Yeah. I had a salon in South Australia. Within 3 months, we did her numbers. This is one of many. 57,000 extra revenue in 3 months. And she went from doing 12,000 in 3 months to 30,000 in 3 months of retail sales.
Yeah, huge.
And that is literally, so my plan is within 3 months, the salon should have the accelerator program, which teaches the staff to get on board. And then they do my master of the chair. Once they finish that, they really know how to do stock control. They know how to do leadership. They know how to do one-on-ones. They know how to profit the break-even numbers, right? And it's literally start to finish. And I have clients work with me purely for accountability.
Yeah. So, is it the limiting beliefs of maybe the salon owner and the team that is the biggest kind of hurdle that you need to overcome when you're working with someone new?
Absolutely. They think their client can't afford it and they don't want to push them.
Yep.
And they have this philosophy that the clients are spending a lot of money and they don't want to get them to spend another $80.
Yeah.
Which is the bare minimum, right?
Yeah.
That is not our choice or our decision. It's just not. It's not our decision whether someone can afford something or not. And I talk about really being able to disconnect from your client is not really your friend. We do have clients that are family. I totally concur, but ultimately they're there paying for a service and ultimately they're there to get their hair done. So we need to treat it accordingly. So it's not our decision to make people decisions on their behalf. I think that we have the confidence I'd be able to bring up these conversations when we've had a client say they're really struggling. Let's face it, we're all in money and buy things that we can't afford. Unpaid bills, car bills, leases, mortgages. We all buy things we can't afford.
Yep.
We feel like we need it and it's going to add value, then we buy. We don't, you know, we don't actually buy whether we can afford it or not. That's not one of the buying principles. That's not one of the buying emotions. It either gives us status, what it can do for us, or if we feel like we need it.
Is status really that much of a buying consideration?
Yeah. It's never money.
Wow.
Because you think of Louis Vuitton, if it was all about money, they'd be closed.
Yeah.
Okay. And I talk about that kind of Louis Vuitton experience too. I talk to, if you're going to really offer a high ticket treatment, just picture what it'd be like if you did walk into a Louis Vuitton. You don't question how much the handbag is. You might ask because you've got to pay for it. But you don't ask because you're wanting a discount.
No.
Okay. And you go in there expecting a certain level of service. Now, if we have a certain level of service in our salon, your client's never going to question how much their hair's going to cost. Money only comes in when they don't feel like they get the level of service that they're paying for.
Yeah. So it's value interest. What? Is it intrinsic? Yes.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. We go to a fine dining restaurant and we don't get certain things asked or whatever. We're like, oh, this is not fine dining.
Yeah.
We're paying, you know, $90 for a steak, right? We look at the small, I always say the small things are the big things every day of the week.
Yeah.
Right. So what are the small things that we need to be doing in our salon that your client really thinks are the big things? The big thing's hair. That's a given.
Yeah.
You're paying for that.
Do you ever get a bit of pushback from people that you work with that are like, well, my clients are just going to get it online? Is that something that comes to you quite often?
That used to be.
Oh, okay.
And I just say to them, if they're going online, why? And do you even ask them why they buy online?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I even bring up, I was in a salon and this lady pulled out a phone and literally showed me what she bought the day before. I was actually, when I was working for the last company I was working on, doing like a treatment demo, and the client's hair was like absolutely fried. And I just said to her, I said, oh, just out of interest, what are you using at home? Like, just as a question, just entertain me.
Yeah.
Just tell me what you're using, right? And that's how casual I am, right? Just tell me. She pulled out a phone and showed me this 1 liter bottle that she'd bought the day before. Now, a lot of salon and a lot of hairdressers would lean out when they know someone's bought something the day before.
Yeah.
Or they'd say, well, when you finish that, you can use this. I don't want her to use it on the hair another minute. So she could tell by my body language that I just went, oh.
You let that silence kind of hold space.
The pause.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, you don't like that? And I said, oh. Now, mind you, this is not my client. I'm just doing a demo on a treatment.
Yeah.
And I said, would you like my professional opinion? And she said, yeah. And I said, I wouldn't use that ever again. I said, let me try and guess what's happening for you at home and you tell me if I'm right. And I said to her, you'd be overtoning it. It'd become really dry. It shampoos out the next day. Then you feel like you've got to overtone it again. You come into the salon, they can never lift it up wide enough because it's so overtoned. And it's just this vicious cycle. She goes, that's exactly what's happening. And I said, would you be open to me to show you what you should be using at home? Because, yeah, sure. She bought shampoo, conditioner, toning, and an iron and a heat protector. I saw 5 products and it wasn't even my client.
Wow.
Because I actually knew what pain she was going through and she didn't want to feel it at home anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't care whether she bought that shampoo. I don't care if she's throws it down the drain. Do whatever you want with it. Do I want you to use it? Absolutely not. Yeah. So it's the belief in what we do, like the confidence to say, you've got oily hair. Okay, well, tell me what that looks like. Or you've got really dry hair. Okay, so would this be a keratin client? Talk to me. Does your hair stay really wet for a long time when you shampoo it? Yeah, it stays really wet. Okay. But when it dries, we know that, you know, that holds moisture.
Yeah.
That means your hair's really lacking it because it should dry really quickly if it's in prime condition. Oh, okay. Boom. We're not even talking like this. Like, it's just organic.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is for all, okay? I'm just saying that I know that there's a lot of salons out there that aren't reframing, aren't asking enough questions, and literally within a day they can learn all of it.
Well, I would like to come. I would like to learn how to sell far better. I'm like the world's worst salesperson.
Okay.
I can completely own it. I'm terrible at selling. I can't sell myself. I can't sell my products. It's really been valuable to kind of see your point of view as to, you know, what holds back hairdressers. Have I been conditioned because I'm an ex-hairdresser and, you know, I couldn't sell in a salon, so therefore I'm not good at selling my own services as well. So, I mean, breaking that apart, like, I've taken so much from what you have said. It's not going to be retail. It's going to be about the services that I offer and the value and all of those things. Everyone needs to get a ticket to come and see you. And follow you on socials as well. So I'm going to put all of those links in the show notes. I guess to wrap up, is there anything that would be like a parting piece of advice for salon owners or hairdressers out there on what is possible and how you can help them achieve that?
Yeah, that's a really good one. I think the best advice would say get out of your own way.
Yeah, okay.
Because we're in our head a lot, our industry especially. We overthink things. We talk ourselves out of things and we have very, I guess, we don't think we can do it. Where if you actually just trust the process, get uncomfortable. I actually think that's the best one. Get uncomfortable, because my mentor always says to me that the best place to be is in the uncomfortable. Actually, it's in the unknown zone, not the comfort zone. So the comfort zone means that you're not growing, you're not learning, and that's not a good place to be.
Yeah.
The uncomfortable zone is where the magic starts to happen, because when you're uncomfortable, that means you're growing and you're expanding and you're actually learning. But the best place to be is in the unknown zone, where you have no expectations. You're just doing the 1% every day. You're just getting to the goal, and it's never linear, right? You know, in business, Hayley, it's never linear, okay? And there's days where some days are going to be better than others. And hey, that's the nature of the beast. But what we need to do is just be consistent, right? Be consistent in the process, because if we keep feeding the pipeline, it will come out the other end.
Yeah.
But just doing it, we get a six pack not by going to the gym once in 3 months. We get a six pack by going to the gym maybe 5 times a week for 1 hour. That's when we get the six pack. And even if we miss a day, it doesn't matter, because we've done 4 days that week, right? It's a bad day, not a bad week.
Yeah.
So much value.
Sonia, thank you so, so much. I am really pumped to, I guess, probably report to you what I can put in place between now and Salon Forum, which is happening in February in Tasmania. So anyone who wants to come along, tickets are still available. I'll put that in the show notes. And thanks so much for your time, Sonia. You've been an absolute wealth of knowledge in a place where so many of us are completely drowning. So yeah, it was just so perfect having you on.
Oh, and Hayley, absolutely. Thank you so, so much. I absolutely love what you're doing. I think it's definitely a voice for our industry that people really need to understand that we have the best industry in the world. We have the most amazing people in the world, and we make people feel so amazing that we deserve a little bit of love and TLC too. So that's where my passion is, and I cannot wait to meet you in person and see everyone at Salon Forum, and hopefully we can change some salons' lives for 2026, that's for sure, forever.